Patty?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes. Paul is yes. Tattersall?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Hicks?
Yes.
Adelson?
I'll abstain.
Motion carries.
Okay, that's tabled. The next item on the agenda is, let me get back to it. Hold on just a second. Please pardon me. Got several applications open. Okay, the review of the June 05 actuals and forecast. Who would like to speak on this issue? Lonnie has addressed the June financials briefly in his report. Jane, I know you had issues. I also have some. Who would like to speak to this? Okay, then I'll just put Jane first and myself second. Is that okay, Jane?
Sounds great. I'm
trying. Go ahead.
Let's see. In the national office budget, the income from the SCA, I guess that subchannel.
Subcarrier
agreements. We've had a lot of discussion locally about this.
Can you speak up?
We see budget of $426,000, projected actual will be $386,000. Our PNB reps have indicated that there was a decision that this SCA income would go directly to archives, and that we would no longer have a special separate assessment dedicated to archives. But I see that that money is going into the national office and not to PRA. And at least locally, our budget included a separate assessment for the archives in addition to the 20% for central services. And I'd just like a clarification of that.
Really? Well, let me just see if I can unpack that. Are you saying that your budget currently has a special assessment for the archives and 20%?
Could you make reference to line numbers in the income statement easily, Jane?
Yes, I could. The line 942, columns BA and BO, referring to the annual total projected. So the first question is... who's right? Is this money supposed to go directly to archives? What's the story on that?
I'm looking at 942.
So the year-to-date numbers, which the actual was 386 and the budgeted was 426.
Projected annual total is
420 at 386.
Yeah, projected annual total. Yeah.
No. My understanding, I checked with Dan Coughlin about the SCA income. For those who don't know, SCA refers to subcarrier. And apparently, each station or frequency has additional frequencies that are not used. That is, there's space on either side of the call numbers for a station that are not used to keep interference away from the main broadcast frequency. But, apparently, in the radio business, and this is just my understanding, others of you might know better, that those other unused frequencies are and have been rented out to others. And in this case, rented out to, I think we have some contracts with the Korean channel. They use a sub-frequency to broadcast Korean broadcasts, which people in various locations can hear with a special transmitter. And I asked Dan, I said, well, Dan, how long ago, what's the history of the SCA? His answer is that 95-96, the income from the SCA carriers was high, $750,000, and then it's been steadily declining because because people have other options. They can go to the Internet to get information out. Anyway, to summarize, he said this money was earmarked for the national office to be used predominantly for national programming, not to be used for the PRA. So the PRA had a separate allocation, which 2.5%, which comes out of the 20%, and the remaining 17.5% would go for Central Services National Office. Anyway, that's my understanding, Jane. And
Lonnie, we were told previously that that's the 2.5% is no longer the funding mechanism for PRA.
Yeah, all of it goes to the national office, and it's reallocated to PRA using those funds with PRA's agreement to increase their revenue and increase their income, combining with them and doing larger mailings so that they can expand the PRA and not be solely dependent on the 2.5%. And that's true since I've been here. Their budget expanded by 30 or 40% using a joint funding mechanism where they joined with us to do mailings to increase the income they would have over and above the 2.5%. And if they were to go back to the 2.5%, I think they'd be the first to tell you that it would mean less income for them. They also were given the affiliate income, $100,000 or so, to form a basis. So anyway, that was the deal in terms of working with the PRA to be able to have that group have more than 2.5%. And by combining their budgets with ours, that's worked out pretty much that way, that they have more funds to work with. Now, so you can look at their budgets and see from 2 or 3 years ago how much they were working with as opposed to how much they have now.
Was that an answer to your question, Jane?
Well, yes, that's we were given incorrect information from our EMB rep that it is not true that that is dedicated to.
I have no information like that, Jane. I can check it, double check it again, but I never heard it described that way.
Can you clarify first, Jane, what you were saying is, so you were told that SCA income was dedicated to PRA.
That's my recollection, but it's possible that.
And so Lonnie's answer was
crossed,
Lonnie's answer is basically that SCA income is not allocated to the archives.
Yeah, well, boy, it would be a different world. Remember that SCA income 3, 4, 5 years ago was $700,000. Right now, PRA's budget is $500,000, so it would be a lot of money for them. Had that been true, but I've seen no evidence that that's the case in the books. I'll look again to be sure, but I've never heard of it said that way.
Well, I mean, you mentioned the affiliate's income is dedicated, so I may have gotten my signals crossed, and or else when somebody, when they were talking to me, expressed it in a way I didn't understand it. So at this point, you're saying that that money is like earmarked for national programming.
Yeah, that's the way it was. If this occurred in 1995 and 96, as I recall, so. And I asked Dan about it and other folks, and that was a decision that was made. That is, to support, use those funds for national programming, basically.
I'll just add on that. Back when I started going to board meetings in 96 or 97. My understanding was that all that income was going to the national office. And, in fact, in Histories of Pacifica, I read that when Reagan allowed stations to, during Reagan, they allowed stations to rent those as an additional source of income. And that was when the national office first got its original stream of independent income outside of central services. And in the mid-90s, when I went to meetings, the discussions at the Finance Committee meeting was how to allocate those funds to different projects around the network. So stations would apply for chunks of SCA income in order to do specific things like capital projects and others. So that was what it was back when I was first involved.
If you had someone else better in mind, I would say
Okay, were you done, Jane?
It's all for now.
Okay, I had a few things, Lonnie. You, so between the May and the June income statements, the amount of money that KPFK's bottom line projected for the end of the year shrunk from $134,000 to $14,000. But the projected cash at the end of the year is still $134,000 increase over the course of the year.
Oh, $165,000.
Pardon me?
$165,000.
Oh, that's the last thing I saw from you said that we were due to be 134, that our we would have 134,000 more cash in the bank at the end of 05 than
right.
at the end of 04.
Right. Yes, okay.
So how did, and that didn't change. So I'm not understanding how our bottom line changed by 120,000, but our cash at the end of the year projected did change. And I'd also like to know how. I mean, I see little bits of it here and there in the projection. How our surplus by the end of the year changed our excess income. But when I look at it, the spending in June doesn't really seem to account for the amount of the change that is projected by the end of the year. So if you could clarify.
Oh, that's a little bit hard without specific. Well, let me try without having specific things you're pointing to. You know, KPFK has not had a business manager for 8 months prior to the hiring of the most recent one. And as you know, I sent down my assistant controller and also another person who was doing some audits on your books to have a look at those books.
I'll be available.
L Station can be without a business manager for 8 months and not have some inside problems and some issues. A lot of bills were missed. Some of the figures that were being used were not accurate. Oh, and looking at, as you recall, do you remember Lynn coming down? And
I know that it happened.
Yeah, and Efren, the fellow who was at that KPFK meeting, yeah, he was located by us to support you folks.
So Efren, what is Efren's status?
He is a temporary person doing your accounts payable. And because we need it.
But June is still our business manager?
Yeah, June's still the business manager.
Okay.
But you were 8 months without a business manager. And that's a long time for a station not to have that particular function going. So when our people went in, we found that there was a lot of cleanup work that had to be done, as you would expect, with a vacancy that long in that crucial spot. So as they identified items that needed to be in the books, there's cleanup work that had to be done. So that would be the short answer. There was also a 34,000, certain items were not even accrued, which is to say put in the books, like, you know, you have a union that has periodic payments, you know, we call it 10%. We pay two unions to that union for their health and welfare benefits. Well, that was 34,000. I think I put it in my notes. It was not in the books. It had not been accrued. It had not been noticed that it had to be done. And you've had three business managers at K in the year and a half, 2 years, the blueprint for trouble. So there was work to be done. And once we got a business manager in there, and that work started April, May, June, and you're getting cleanup.
Well, but I don't understand how we end up with the same amount of excess cash in the bank at the end of the fiscal, but a very different bottom line in the income statement.
Well, cash is cash, and on the accrued side, like I was saying, if somebody didn't put something in the books, right, it wasn't accrued, then it would change your accrued and your bottom line would change, but cash still would remain the same in that scenario, because just as you can discover stuff that's not accrued, you can discover certain cash that was not booked. I don't want to go into much more detail, but happy to talk offline about it, because we're getting into an area about how those books were kept. And I don't want to do that on a call.
Fair enough, but it's still the case that the station has 130, is projected to have 134,000 more than it started the year with. And
yeah,
at some point
that's not necessarily the best outcome, Dave. What you should have is the 1 month. So that 134 is like half a month, so it's not as much.
No, the 134 is over and above the budget. I mean, the total is 530. Some odd $1,000. It's,
yeah.
So we had more than a 1 month, much more than 1 month to start the year.
How much did you start the year with in cash? That's the crucial question.
Okay. Well, according to your report, we started the year with, beginning cash with $397,032, and projected ending cash will be $532,000 for an increase of $134,000. So I'm not clear if when your accounting is done by the end of the year, you only show a $14,000 excess over the, hold on, let me get back here, juggling things, line 494. So you show actually you show an annual total budgeted of, in surplus for K, of $260,000.
Yeah, that's the budget. That's the budget, yeah. So I don't know. Maybe we can...
Does that count the $39,000 disappeared by the National Finance Committee?
You know, Casey, you keep saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you keep saying that. It sounds like somehow or other that it disappeared, has to...
It did.
...own to it that it was mysterious and your money was taken somehow without explanation. I don't think that is a fair thing to imply.
Well, let's keep our discussion on the June financials and what's being projected for the end of the year.
Yeah, well,
the $14,000 that are in the hold on a sec, let me get back there. I'm sorry, I'm slow, but I'm juggling many different
Can I intervene with a small question?
Oh,
go ahead, please do.
On WPSW, the statement that you sent us. Couple of weeks ago, compared with the one that we just got yesterday or today, we've got 37,000 more in listener income projected. And I just want to make sure that
you're breaking up, Jane.
Yeah, I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you the number in question was listener income. Because earlier in the month, when you sent us the preliminary June numbers, we were $1,500,000 year end, and now we're up to $1,617,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually 27,000 more. I just wanted to make sure that was correct.
Yeah, you know, talking with Robert, right?
Yeah.
And I talk to them every week.
Okay.
And I said, well, what's your income projection? And if he identifies some new income item, generally I'll put it in my forecast. Because my forecast is not something I make up from scratch, folks should understand. Or Robert will call me up after a forecast is made and says, you know, the income we thought we were going to have is not going to materialize for whatever reason. Then the forecast has to change. That's what the forecast is for. It's not meant to be,
okay,
you know, totally not science we're dealing with here. We're dealing with people's best guesses. What income will come in and what income will not come in. If we forecast that salaries will be absolutely, you know, like they were the previous 9 months, but then someone hires new people or you hire more people for a drive, then the next month the forecast has to change because you did not, you know, hire two forecasts. So forecasts have a certain amount of changeability and volatility. What you want to know from a forecast is how much. And if you look at these forecasts from second quarter to third quarter, you'll see that when you adjust for WBAI, forecasts have not changed very much on a percentage basis. Why? Because most of the money in a forecast is based on what we call fixed expenses like salary and health and whatnot. So there's a huge amount of non-volatility in these forecasts. So anyway, forecasts will change, to answer your question, too, Dave.
Thank you.
Yep.
Excuse me for interrupting. This is Ken Freeland. I appear to be on the wrong conference call here, but my understanding was that there was supposed to be a conference call of the Programming Committee Subcommittee on Program Review.
At this time?
Yeah, at 7:30 Central Time today. But you haven't heard Rob Robinson or anybody else on that coming from here. Coming to you from there for that, right?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I stepped off for just a moment. Were you done, Jane?
Yep.
Okay. Lonnie, here's the issue. Now I've recentered and got all the numbers in front of me. So the excess income that in the income statement projected for the end of the year, KPFK's bottom line, changed between May and June by $120,000. But the cash projected at the end of the year didn't change. Now, it brings up another question with me, and maybe this will illuminate other people, or maybe it just means I'm ignorant. If KPFK's total change in cash in the bank through the year is $134,000. How does that jibe with the fact that you have its bottom line even now being $260,000 in excess income? I mean, $253,000 in excess income over expenses.
Let me look here.
So the line I'm looking at in the income statement is line 495, which column AT in May you had at 356, and in June you have at 253. In June it's column BA.
Yeah, part of that is going to be that without that business manager, Dave, they put some of the money in the wrong month. That is, they had double counted.
Okay, but so still you have a surplus of $260K.
Yeah.
But you have a change in cash of only $130K.
Yeah, cash and these budgets are totally different. I think we went through this before. Your cash forecast is may or may not be related at all to a budget. A budget is simply at September 30th how much you owe versus how much you owe other people, and that's how we get a budget. It's based on accrued and numbers, best guesses of what bills you will pay and what you owe. Cash is different, as we went through that before. Cash is like how much people have actually paid you and you have in the bank. It's, you know, it's real money. And that can vary widely. I'll give you one example, then I won't drag this on. At WBAI, for example, they did a drive where they made the assumption that the fulfillment rate would be like 70 or 80%. Well, it came in at 64%. One of them, that 80% is an accrued number. So they went into the drive assuming they'd get 80%. They only got 64. One is cash, and one was just the best guess. And they actually did use that 80% in order to construct a budget. So that's, you know, a simple-minded example of why they will vary sometimes radically in each station. And, you know, what would be the fulfillment rate of that drive they had, which was like 400,000? Well, it'll plunge. It'll go way down, you know.
By the time you're at the end of the fiscal, you've taken in essentially all the monies you're going to take in because it's been a while. I mean, in their case, they're going to be raising funds through August and September, so those won't match. But if Kay was not expected to do or was not planning to do or was not slated to do additional fundraising during that period, shouldn't the cash match approximately?
Not necessarily, especially you're dealing with, like I said, a bad accounting system where you did not have anyone closely watching in your station how to do this correctly.
But wait. The question is, now that it's been corrected, if you show a surplus during the course of the year, you've taken in essentially all the monies you're going to take in, and you're showing surplus, so presumably you haven't prepaid $130,000 worth of something, then why isn't, let me ask other people on the call, is it obvious to anyone else why there shouldn't be $260,000 more in the cash if there's, or $130,000 more in the cash if there was $260,000 surplus during the course of the year and you'd paid all your bills and you'd gotten all the cash you were going to see from that fiscal end? Does that make sense?
You haven't gotten all your money.
This is Jane. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I think that I don't understand the exact details of this question, but I do understand the general nature of it, and I think that this is something that working group on the statements should really look at specifically, and you've given a good example. So if that working group could perhaps attempt to answer this as an example.
That would be helpful.
I really think it's more than we can handle on this call.
Agreed.
Okay.
Okay, can we do it that way?
Yeah.
Who is spearheading that?
I think it's Marnie or...
Marnie, is that you?
No, I thought it was Lonnie, but I do remember that I said I would be on it. Mark Roberts said he would be on it. If you know, while we keep going, I can look at my notes and come back in a little while and tell you who I had.
Thanks, that'd be great, because I think this is the sort of thing that we really need to get worked out.
I think all the treasurers said they would be on it.
Yeah.
Let's move the agenda if we could.
Is there any other question on the June financials before we move the agenda? Okay, hearing none, the next thing on the agenda is on just a moment. I'll get back over there. By the way, Lonnie, while I'm looking for that, we were supposed to get quarterly reporting, including headcounts and the other things. The last one we got was early April. What's the status of that?
Well, Ambrose is working up on that project. He wants to include job descriptions. So he says he'll get them out. His plan was to get them out before the board meeting, including him as a part of the board. But let me talk to him about what he'd like to do. The reports are done. But what he's wanting to add is some other material, including organization charts and job descriptions, which he thinks is crucial to include.
Okay.
So let's see what he'll do.
The next item on the agenda.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. My printer's running, but I just have a matter of question. This is LaVarne.
Go ahead.
I'm just trying to understand why we can't get the numbers and headcount and then the job descriptions and whatever you said, the org chart, we come later.
I was just saying, Ambrose says he's preferred to put them out together, and he says he's prepared to do it fairly quickly, so he's asking for more time.
Because I think that if we get the numbers, that will help us to look at, you know, what the look at the income statement expenses, and then we look at the headcount, and we can do a little analysis on that, which really, I mean, we want the org chart because that's what we're doing as part of our committee. Remember in our working group where we wanted the org charts, and that was all part of our little project going. So I'll tell you what, if you don't mind, I'll just call Ambrose tomorrow to let him share what we already have, and perhaps we can see perhaps how long this will take.
Well, he'll be able to tell you. He's got the new HR person working on it furiously.
Oh,
right?
Very good. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, if you communicate directly with Ambrose to deal with that. The next item was the working groups.
I'm sorry, Dave. I just have a really fast question for Lonnie.
Go ahead.
Lonnie, you mentioned the $34,000 in benefits, union benefits.
Yeah.
And my understanding was that there was $35,000 for salary increases on the new union contract. Is that a different amount or?
Yeah, it's different. See, that 34 is, I'm saying the same thing. Yeah, that 34 is the premium we pay to the union people for health benefits and pensions.
Okay.
And that's separate.
And that was,
by the way, you know, I think that now that you've got a business manager there, that you can go over and get a lot of that detail from that person, whereas before that was not the case.
Right. So really, we're looking at $70,000 total.
Yeah. You know, like I said, I don't want to say too much on the air.
Right.
But you do find certain things behind the file cabinet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Okay. Thank you.
I don't know what you mean, but I'll let it drop.
Okay. Don't ask,
working
please.
Groups.
Don't
the,
ask.
The first item is LaVarne's working group on inter-unit transfer policies and related, and I believe in that there was also a question about that we were going to include Baruti's question about maybe, Marnie, you can refresh me as to exactly what it was. Oh, it was about the legal assessment.
He wants a detail of the legal assessment. What I can say is that in the balance sheet statement, if you look at the bottom tabs, you find detail on the legal.
Okay.
All right. But I am also saying that caution you, that does have some confidential material and can't be reproduced, quoted, or otherwise distributed.
Okay. LaVarne, do you want to update us on the work of your working group? Of that working group?
Yeah, this will be really quick because I did not call another meeting between the time our last NFC meeting, but I can call one. You know, we can set a time to meet again today at the end of today's meeting, if that would be great for me. Last week was a little hectic with all of the doing the budget and doing the other things that we had to do in our LSB meeting. So I'd like to do that at the end of today's meeting.
Is there any reason to just not do it right now?
You know, no time like the present. Okay. Let's see. I would like to meet this week. What about the 25th? For the people who are on the working group, could everyone look at their calendars? 25th at... we have it at 5 p.m.
Okay.
Casey, Marnie.
I will be.
Am I the only person in the house?
I'll be on vacation.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. That's right. When do you leave?
Any minute now.
Casey.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, 5 p.m. Who else was there?
Okay.
I have a problem, LaVon, with it, but let me try to attend part of it. Okay?
Okay, that would be great. Okay.
Also, Baruti. We really need Baruti.
Okay, so I'll send him an email. I'm not sure if I have his phone number, but I'll definitely send an email to him. I'll send it to him right after the meeting.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll set it for this Thursday, the 25th at 5 p.m.
Okay, great. The next item is special national fundraising for year-end, and Lonnie, that's you.
Oh, boy, you know, we're going to run out of time, I think. What was that programming committee or whatever? They said they're going to come on at, 6 or 7 o'clock central or whatever? We may run into that.
Let me look. Hang on a second. I'll look on the calendar. Why don't you go ahead with this while I do
that? I think we ought to be prepared to deal with that eventuality.
Okay, I'll deal with that while you do this.
All right, I'll go through quickly. The committee met on a conference call with Stephanie Hendricks, and we worked through with the general managers and some reps from WBAI what the format would be and how the pitch would go on that particular day. That would be the 6th, 7th, and 8th of September. We agreed on a format for the first day, which would be a pre-show with some pitching, and then the hearings themselves, which would be relatively uninterrupted, and then a pitch period from the end of the hearings, which would be 5 o'clock Eastern time to 7. We agreed on the second day. Sometimes they're not sure of the format. They're not sure of the actual hours of those hearings, and they're subject to change and very difficult to predict this year. They may start at 9 o'clock, or they may start at noon. So they're not sure of day two, but contingency plans were made to broadcast in any eventuality. It would start up at 6 o'clock, 6 a.m. here on the West Coast, or 9 a.m. Plans are made to try to take advantage of the internet audience that usually spikes when we do live hearings, especially like these kind. And so Ernesto was on from K. Armando was on from K, and that was good because he was able to give us a lot of good feedback. Ernesto was on from T. So short version is that it looks like it's a go. We have set up the target to be 200,000. And there are lots of issues, a lot of kinks to be worked out. But
what is the pitch, and what is it for?
The pitch is going to be, at this point, still always in process, but asking listeners to support national programming.
And what are the funds going to be used for?
They haven't gotten to the point of identifying how the funds will be used. They just want to be sure that that goal. It's feasible, reasonable goal, $150,000 to $200,000.
Well, let me ask this: Is that money slated to deal with WBI's cash flow problems or cash problems?
Yeah, if needed, the committee would get together and say how much of these funds should go for WBI should they need the funds. And the signals we're getting from WBAI, at least I'm getting, is maybe they will, maybe they won't. So,
but isn't there a problem with pitching it as for national programming if it's really going to be for a different purpose?
I'll tell you what, when the committee comes back with their final report, which we meet again tomorrow, the email will go out, and the final pitch, the final numbers, the final format will be ready. Folks are having to check out certain things about what is and is not going to be possible at their station.
I have some other things, too. Does anybody
Patty?
Else have comments
too.
Before I go?
This is Patty. Also?
I'm sorry. Hang on a second. I think I interrupted. Lonnie, were you finished?
As I said, there's some things still up in the air, but they're making progress, and we have another meeting, yes, tomorrow. And then a report will go out as we are able to identify whether this thing will really work or not.
Okay.
And so that's where that committee is. I'm still trying to be sure that this will work. Now, broadcasting the hearings is not an issue. It's the question of how the pitching will go and how much it will raise.
Okay. Patty, and who else did I hear?
Casey.
Anybody else?
I didn't want to speak. This is Baruti joining late.
Oh, Baruti, I think why don't I put you on this? Because this is about the fund drive and the money, what it's going to be used for and how WBI might be in need of it. Do you want to get put on the stack?
You can put me at the bottom. Let me hear what.
Okay, great. And we raised the issue that you raised about legal, and Lonnie referenced where it's located in the income statement, pointed out that there are confidential issues, and we'll take it up in executive session.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Deal with some of those. So, Patty, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I don't know if this has to do with this committee, because it seems this committee hasn't really done whatever it is. And now on the 29th or 30th, Los Angeles is doing a fundraiser for WBAI. Am I correct on that?
Huh.
How'd that...
No, my understanding is they were not going to do it that way. They were going to join the rest of...
Pardon?
We were told by our manager yesterday or recently that they... my understanding is that both KPFA and KPFK have pulled out of doing the national fundraiser and are going to do them independently.
That's but not they, what was said on the call.
When was the call?
I can speak to KPFA when you want.
Okay, well, why don't you do that, Marnie, and then we'll come back to Patty.
Right. Well, I think what Roy just shared with the LSB on Saturday was that... there was reluctance to try to get involved with the fundraising aspect of the Roberts hearings, but that therefore instead KPFA is now going to look to add a day or so in its October fund drive that would be dedicated to raising money for the National Rainy Day Solidarity, whatever, whatever.
Okay, Patty, you want to continue?
Okay. I don't know. I actually have a motion that goes with this for the BAI recovery thing. I don't know if this is appropriate or would it be in this place appropriate?
It's in order, I would think.
Pardon?
Well, I'm not feeling prepared to deal with a motion at this late hour.
Well, you know.
It's not on the agenda.
You're always allowed to make a motion.
Yeah, the item we're in is hold on a second. We're dealing with special fundraising for year-end. So I think if it's related to that topic, then it's in order.
Okay, good. All right, well, let me just first say, today we had an impromptu report from the program director on WBAI.
Patty, before you do that, let me clarify one thing. I've looked on the calendar, and I don't see any meeting conflicting with this one. That is, we are scheduled for now, and there's no other meeting scheduled for now, so I don't think it's a problem that we're on this call. Go ahead, Patty.
Okay, so let me just give a little forward, a little background. So the program director today made a... report to the listener from the program director, not from the general manager, who was not ready to make report. It was very sad because the station, the local station board was disparaged. One member was named by another person on the program as to being writing racist comments to people, blah, blah, blah. It was a very poor broadcast. It set up a lot of negativity and really, you know, having bad things to say about the board minority there and all these kinds of...
Is this germane to your motion?
Yes, I'm just saying. One of the other comments had said that the reason why... This is the reason why KPFK has been... I'm just saying this is... Yes, I just want to just finish it. Okay, there's a quote that says, this is the program director, I think KPFK has been doing pretty well in their fund drives, and there are some concrete reasons for that, I believe. I think KPFK has 100,000-watt radio station that goes from Central California into Southern California into parts of Nevada. It has just a very broad broadcast area. And in the past, they have been broadcasting primarily to a very small, narrow group of individuals in the recent past anyway. And as a result, they were not able to raise a lot of money. But since Eva Georgia became the station manager, there has been a direction following the coup that is bringing about in the fact they're following in the footsteps of WBAI in terms of trying to broaden the amount of people, different peoples, participating in the radio station, and as a result, they have been able to increase the amount of revenue that they have gotten. If they continue in this direction with this 100,000-watt signal, they're going to be able to do very well in terms of raising funds as long as they are more relevant they become to people in their listening area. Now, this comment, to me, doesn't make any sense at all. And this is the kind of things that we have to listen to from somebody that really has not been evaluated.
I have to cut you off. If it's a motion about finance and about the use of funds on the national fundraising, that's fine. But
yes, okay.
Not that.
All right. Well, this has to do with the WBAI element of that, okay? The resolution on WBAI recovery. And this is what I would like to resolve, that the WBAI interim general manager collaborate with the Pacifica interim executive director and chief financial officer in the development of a detailed and credible WBAI recovery plan for the use of funds raised for this purpose by other units. The WBAI recovery plan should identify the fundamental causes that have or that may have contributed to both reduced income and increased expenses, and should include a plan of action in addressing each concern where remedy is possible, including the claims that WBAI programming has alienated listeners and that good programmers have been unfairly removed from the broadcast schedule. Further resolved that an initial recovery plan document should be immediately prepared for the review of the PNB Finance Committee with follow-up reports on the status of action items due monthly from the IED or CFO. Participation of the WBAI LSB in this process shall be at the discretion of the general manager unless and until the PNB itself decides otherwise. And the point I'm making here is that if we don't have strings tied to money coming to our station, people are just going to start giving the station money without an examination of a station that is really in violation of bylaws, not following its, evaluations of management and stuff. We're really in a situation of never solving the problem there.
Well, I understand the sentiment, but I'm afraid that I don't understand the motion, that's a very complicated motion. I'm not even sure what you've said.
Uh-huh.
With all due respect, may I have the floor for a hot second for a point of clarification, of information?
Please go ahead.
I've been on those committee calls about the rainy day fund, and there's always and absolutely is a clear-out indication that we have to have strings to the WBAI stuff, and we're working on those strings. So it's really, really not helpful for someone to intimate that strings are not part of this. I mean, we've all heard Baruti. He's adamant. He's right. We all are. We're all working on this. We'll get there. We've just got a lot of things on our plate. We will get there.
Excuse me.
So wait. I just want to clarify what Marnie said. So Marnie is basically saying that the discussion of the items requested in Patty's motion is already underway in the working group that's dealing with these issues.
Yes, when you come to strings, however, it's also outside of that working group. That working group was just trying to figure out how to get a fundraiser, and then it's up to us at the NFC to come up with these bloody strings. So let's do it. And in a group or as an
NFC.
Let
us hope they're not bloody.
Yeah, and I think that even LaVarge committee was supposed to come up with some ideas in that same area. We already have committees that have the charge,
and let them do that work.
Yeah, well, before I recognize you, Jane, quickly, Pat. Well, actually, go ahead, Jane, and then I want to ask Patty for clarification. Go ahead.
A lot of what Patty said did make sense. I'm wondering if perhaps this, the wording, if she can just send it to all of us and to the working group, whoever does deal with making strings, I think can make use of a lot of the language she's put together. So
yeah.
I'll just forward this motion to either the working group or to our. If the strings are going to have to be formulated by the National Finance Committee, then I think that's...
I ask a technical question about that, Lonnie? What's your understanding of, we're talking about if the NFC has to deal with that. What's your understanding of things right now? As money comes in, as WBI needs money to make payroll, what is happening in this interim while these issues haven't been resolved?
You said if the issues had not been resolved.
I'm hearing they haven't been resolved.
Yeah, that's true.
And that BAI continues to have immediate needs for cash. Is that true? And if it is true, then what's the status of transfers that are going there?
Well, there's been no cash transfers to WBAI at this point.
Okay. Do you have a sense of by when they're going to need that?
Well, you know, as I said to this group, I think three meetings ago, that around the end of September, which would be, you know, roughly a month, BAI in the first 2 weeks in October might be at a cash crunch, and that we should prepare prudently to assume that that need might be there. The September broadcast, should it go forward, the cash would then, we'd have some cash reserves on hand around other issues as they might pop up. Now, I don't want to go back and forth on whether the cash is for WBAI or not. I don't want to go on the call here about whether there's strings or not. I don't think it's appropriate. We let the groups do their work, have them come back with a thought-out plan. I like Jane's idea of having Patty submit her ideas and let the working groups take those and get back to us, you know, in a timely way.
Yeah, and I think maybe the way to deal with it is that we'll have another meeting before this goes off, and so if at that time there needs to be a motion about, you know, the transfer not happening except under certain conditions, then that's when it should happen.
Yep, I agree.
Okay, Patty?
Yes?
Are you okay with transmitting that to the working group?
I just sent it to the Finance Committee, which would have everybody on there who has the working groups or not.
Okay, so we have that text. Are you willing to withdraw it for the time being, and just so we can consider it, and we'll deal with these issues when that working group reports back to us?
All right, can I just make a comment about it here?
Go ahead.
Before I withdraw it. The thing is that seems like that there's been, you know, this working group has not come to terms with something what to do about WBAI, and yet there are these days of fundraising being planned by stations around the network. Then I don't see where the oversight is going to be. If you're raising money on KPFK and you mentioned what it's for, right? But you have not decided how it's going to be given to them or under what, you know, circumstances, then we run the risk of just raising the money and giving it to them without the, you know, without these processes in place. And if this, these days of fundraising have come from, you know, the committee and through this whole thing, then it would make sense that this has probably been done. But I don't see that this has been done yet. I believe dates have been called for this fundraising, unless they've withdrawn them.
Well, if I'm understanding, I'm sorry, Barudi, go ahead.
I guess part of the problem is really we're up against some major deadlines here. Our LSB has to approve our budget by Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Right. Our finance committee is meeting tomorrow. Now, the issue with the subcommittee is that, everyone on the committee recognizes that there have to be requirements associated with any support, but we don't want to make decisions in the dark. I mean, we're hearing ideas about days of fundraising, staff structure, volunteerism, and so forth, but we don't have a clear picture as to how BAI, in other words, we ask BAI to do something, but we need to know the requests are being made within the context of what other stations are doing. I mean, how does BAI really measure up against, other than to say that we're having a shortfall, which we recognize is an issue, but how do we measure up in terms of what the other stations are doing, how they're raising their resources, how the resources are being spent? I mean, it's obviously something that's going to take a little more time than the next 2 or 3 days. So I don't have a solution, but I'm just saying that we want to put reasonable strings on it. I think we, BAI, at least my approach to our BAI budget is that we repay whatever money is provided to us to carry us out for the year. That it'd be part of next year's budget that we're going to have to repay that money. But within the context of recognizing that we won't be able to generate a one-month reserve and repay whatever funds are lent to us. So, I mean, the commitment that we definitely need is that we're going to need some sort of assistance when it comes to that one-month reserve. We're going to need some sort of waiver on that. So we're committed to paying the funds back. That being said, people are making assertions about what BAI is not doing versus what other folks are doing, and really the committee wants to have evidence of how BAI stacks up. At least from my perspective, we're trying to get evidence as to how BAI stacks up. So when we say BAI has to do something, it's based on having a complete picture of what the other stations are doing around the around the network. I mean, within the foundation, I'm sorry.
If I will, may, Patty, you know, when we talked about doing this, we talked about parallel tracks. One was preparing fundraising that it was clear the network was going to need to do, because no matter what happens, these are network network obligations ultimately. And then in parallel with that process, we were going to be developing the sets of rules governing it. And so you can't, I mean, basically, if what you're saying is do not proceed at planning the fundraising until the rules governing transfers of it or governing allocations of it are finished, it sounds to me that's the motion you're making, but that's not what we agreed on. We agreed to do those things in parallel. So I understand that, like Jane said, you're raising good points, but those are points that are currently under immediate consideration.
Right. Well, Arbitrons are down, and at the last Finance Committee, Indra spoke of possibly trying not to lay anybody off. So we're talking about no change. Right.
Can I make a correction, Patty?
There's a difference between saying something and having it be what's going to happen. Go ahead, Baruti.
Yeah, layoffs are in the budget for next year.
I talked to Indra this morning.
Right. I think the issue is Indra's take was that we were going to try to at least give the people until the end of this fiscal year, that layoffs wouldn't be implemented until the beginning of next year. Now, obviously, those decisions have to be made within the next few days because of the contract, the 30-day notification. So, I mean, those decisions are going to have to be made real soon as to who, or at least how is this full-time equivalence going to be achieved. Is it going to be four persons? Is it going to be across-the-board adjustments? You know, that all of that has to be negotiated, but it's going to have to be done in short order.
So it
That's
will be done
sure.
before this fundraiser even occurs?
It has to be in order for it to be effective October 1st.
Okay, so that is happening.
Right, and that's what the budget reflects four full-time equivalents. So there will be staff adjustments.
Okay.
For next fiscal year.
Okay. Can we move?
I was on the stack, Dave.
Oh, I'm sorry. On this point, go ahead, Casey.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
I understand that the working groups are still working and that things need to move along, you know, in a amount of time. But I know that, you know, when we're talking about doing a fund drive and saying that this is for national programming, I'd want to caution that if that's what it's for, then that's what it needs to be for, and to remind people that if we are doing a fundraiser that we say is for national programming, that that's going to have to tie into the resolutions passed for race and nationality.
Good point, and Spanish language.
And Spanish language programming. So just to be aware of that if we're doing national programming fundraising, that money's probably already spoken for. And that if it's not national programming, then let's not say it is. I know that our staff around here believes that fundraising is being done for WBAI. So whatever those work groups come up with, let's just be real clear about the purpose and follow through with it.
Well, we let them do their report and then have that discussion. We don't know what they'll come up with. I don't, and I'm on the group.
Dave, this is Teresa. May I ask a question?
Go ahead, if it's germane to this.
Didn't we just say that the what some people call the sidebands, that was going to be applied to national programming? That's $500,000?
Yeah, it's already
SBA.
In the budget.
It's already in the budget.
That's already in, so... I mean, do we need more for national programming than that?
Yeah. I don't want to go over it, but, yeah, you got everything. National programming covers everything from, you know, I don't want to go into it right now. But
all right.
You know, everything from Democracy Now! To other costs that are involved. So it's a lot. I can do it in the context.
Okay. No problem. I don't know where my mind was. I guess I drifted off for a minute, and I thought, we're repeating ourselves or something. Okay, thank you.
Okay, the next item is the...
All right, well, I guess we have to dispose of this somehow anyway.
Okay, what do you want to do?
Do
you want to withdraw it, or shall we vote on it, or we can entertain a motion to table it?
Can it be referred to that committee that's working on this?
I think.
But you had asked Patty that it go to the Finance Committee. So are you saying better to go to that working group now? Is that what you're thinking?
He's asking, she's asking that the working group consider it.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Well, I just, you know, I don't know where it should go. I just don't want this issue to disappear and that money is raised and it's given and this didn't happen because it's on another track outside of our committees and finance thing. And I think, Lonnie, you've been talking to managers and stuff like that about setting these things up. So, you know, that this somewhere should be someplace. This should not get disappeared, that any money that comes to BAI is not gone through this process. And so I don't know. Maybe someone can help me what should happen to this because I can't really say, but maybe someone...
Sounds like you should ask that the working group that is dealing with this issue consider your language and come up with a motion that will address the concerns.
Well, this, you know, I think last time that this happened, I was okay. You had a written agreement, so you just write it up, you know.
That's a very good way to do things.
Yeah, just write it up. And then the station signs off. Everybody signs off on, you know, no ambiguities on how the money will be used, under what circumstances, how the payback schedule will go.
But we don't know what that is because we're not in the loop of that.
They're still doing it.
That's it. We don't have a product yet.
We will have that by the time they do it. It will come back to this group. Am I correct? Who's leading that group? Is that you, Baruti?
No, I think it's LaVarne is chairing. LaVarne's chairing the.
This is LaVarne. We're doing the inter-unit transfers. I mean, I would gladly receive that in committee, but I think that would be part of the national fundraising because that was the whole process in terms of determining how the funds would be raised. And
so Lonnie's leading that group, right?
Yeah, that's Lonnie. But please send. I think that, you know, we can still use it as part of our working group.
Well.
So, Lonnie, is you're...
No, that was not our charge. We were charged with raising the money, and as I recall, I raised that question, let's be clear about intent and charge, because it's always many times confusing, that they were going to look at whatever the conditions might be upon the use of those funds that were raised. But I'll tell you what, at this point, why not assume that, like your other idea, send it back to the Finance Committee. Anybody's got an idea of what they think ought to go into it, send it to everybody, and everybody is on one or two of the other committees, and see what either committee comes up with, and have a joint product.
This is Jane. Can you hear me?
Go ahead, Jane.
I'd like to move to table this till our either our next meeting or
need to pick one.
I'd like to table this to the next meeting.
Okay. That motion to table is not debatable. Call the roll, Casey.
I'm sorry. This is LaVarne. I thought we had a motion to refer to the working group.
A motion to table takes precedence.
Oh, I'm sorry. I
thought that's what Patty had requested to be done.
Do you want
and then
to
we were trying to.
Motion?
We were kind of like, you
do
know,
you
tossing
wanna...
the ball back and forth as to see what working group it belonged to.
I mean, I'm going to withdraw my motion to table until
okay.
I clarify what.
Okay, so I said we'll take it for our working group, and we would like Lonnie to consider it for his working group also.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chair, can we ask that this officially be sent to LaVarne's committee on the unit transfers?
Okay.
Okay, we'll accept it.
But it also has to be sent to the one where people are raising money because, you know, if you just raise the money without any backing, you know, here we are.
The motion doesn't address the raising of money. It addresses the transfer of money. If I recall correctly,
okay, that's,
it was
we'll work with it.
Okay.
Right. Okay, well.
Okay, so without objection, it's referred to the working group on inter-unit transfers.
Okay.